In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder.
Thank you.
And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Trying to get in again.
Thank
he's
you,
in again.
He's
got
bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, my bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny.
Ready!
It defies description. Goal. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Still the bars done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Mugger. I'm gladly joined by my great cast of Mariah. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Good to be back. How you doing, Stevie?
Bro, I'm good to see you, bro. I'm good to see you. I don't know why you didn't start with me, fam. Because this is the part-timer over here. So the guest, you got to do some laughs, bro.
Hey. I'm just here to see how you're doing, brother. Obviously, I listen every week. You've been asking for me, so I came, no?
Good to see you, isn't it? How you doing? Because it's been a minute.
I'm good, bro.
Say no more.
And, yeah. Welcome, Stevie. How you doing?
Obviously, as a frequent contributor to this podcast, it's good to see some other members on here bringing in their thoughts every now and then. I don't know, Mariah's become a bit of a part-timer, isn't it? So I had to call him out a couple of weeks just to see if he was still present, still active. And it's good to see that he wants to contribute, isn't it? So I'm happy. I'm all for it.
Discord, Patreon. Once in a while, I'll even edit a pod for you guys. It's fine. Don't you worry.
Man, a man's head is hot. He's talking about the back office dynamics of editing the podcast.
Mugger is not just the front end stuff. The back end stuff is
important.
It's cool. You can fill out the Trello. You can fill out the Trello board after this, yeah?
Man said he's on pro rata, you know. That's disrespectful. He said he's pro.
And last but not least, with his new ring light.
Trust me, man. Yeah, man. I got paid this week, so you know I invested in some studio stuff, man. What's going on though?
I'm good. So before we get into it, this after yesterday's crazy game, obviously you have to do the usuals. The Discord, of course, it was popular yesterday, especially after that Arsenal game. I wish I was on there. I would have got a couple of just a couple in, but. Join in. The Discord is always popping. Always popping. And
Elijah, some listeners have mentioned that when you're doing the preamble, you always sound like someone's putting a gun to your head.
They're not.
I've listened back and I can't disagree, to be honest with you.
Hey, so
let's do that again with a bit more gusto, yeah? Let's go. 3, 2, 1, action.
So wait, what? Now what? We literally putting a gun to his head?
Yeah, literally.
So at the end of the day, the Discord is popping. Join it. It's live. If you are on the Patreon, you would have seen me with Michael and Sebi. And I was wiping sleep out of my eye. But, you know, if you saw the predictions, I almost got it right. I said 2-2. So it was a bit sweet seeing Cavani head that in. But yeah, the Patreon, we've got some content on there. Got some coming, hopefully some coming this weekend, just in general. Just we've still got a backlog of all our stuff. So if you want to join, it's all still ever present, really. So it will still be, most of it will still be relevant to watch.
I love when you lot say hopefully, like you aren't the content creators yourself. hopefully we'll upload some content onto Patreon. Guys, this week we're going to have our preview of our game on the weekend. Who have we got this weekend, Elijah, in the Prem?
West Ham
away.
West Ham preview of the West Ham game. We'll have a top 30 episode if Stevie can get out of bed. And
that's their triggering because I'm in bed right now.
And something else new for you guys. But yeah, Patreons, we appreciate you all. And yeah, just keep watching, listening, likes, put some comments in there. Let us know what sort of content you want us to see. Because obviously Stevie, he's down for the grind. Obviously he's full time, he says. Full time. So you know, one thing a week. The guy's telling us he's full time.
You know what we should do, yeah? We should do Patreon content that guarantees you to come on Mario. People actually pay for that. Because this club ambassador that comes on once every 2 months.
Said he's Sir Alex with it, you know? Wow.
It's cool. Don't worry. It's fine.
You can't. He's not on the pitch. That's disrespectful. Said he's never on the pitch, you know?
That's crazy. Wait, do you guys agree with him?
Huh? Wow, no, I'm just agreeing. He said you're not on the pitch, Mariah. No.
But there was no confidence in any of those notes.
Yeah, you're right. There was no confidence. Elijah went up an octave. Michael scratching his hair. He ain't even got any. Yeah. So,
long.
You've come on smoke today, fam. But and lastly, you've got the YouTube, so this will be uploaded on Wednesday. If you're more of a visual watcher, then yeah, you can catch us there. But let's get into the meat of it. 3-2 versus Southampton. Weird game because that was probably our best performance of the season overall. But we somehow found ourselves 2-0 down. So I wanted to ask Stevie, what did you think of our first half performance?
You know, in that first half, I thought we came out of the block strong. To be honest, I was excited about the lineup to see Van der Beek obviously playing Greenwood and Rashford up top as well. It seemed like a pretty attacking lineup, and I thought, considering how well Southampton press and how an intense side they are, which normally is our Achilles heel, I thought we started really well. And then obviously we had a couple of chances to go ahead. Greenwood probably should have put the chance he had away, and I thought we were creating. But then as soon as that first goal went in, we kind of crumbled a bit. We went inwards and we weren't creating as much. And I thought as soon as James Ward-Prowse got another chance to set up another goal, he would. And obviously we went 2-0 behind. But I think on the balance of the play in the first half, I wasn't too mad at it. I've seen some worse performances from us this season, and I thought we were unfortunate to be behind. So obviously when we came in this out in the second half and we started getting some goals, I wasn't massively surprised because I thought our first half performance sort of warranted the lead or at least to be level.
Yeah. Just to go through some of the chances, Greenwood, you mentioned it there, the
That was poor.
One of them took around the keeper.
That was so poor for Mason. I was surprised he didn't at least hit the target.
He's not recaptured his form from the back end of last season, has he? So he's been in and out of the team. He's had personal issues off the field. So, yeah, I think Mason back end of last season puts that in the net. So, yeah, it was disappointing to see him miss the target at that one.
And then was there another? And then Bruno hit the post. There was a slight nick on it, but it hit the post. And it went out for a corner. And then after their two goals, we had another chance where the keeper kicked it straight to Greenwood and he struck it straight at the keeper. And then Bruno missed a very good chance. And so we had three decent chances and overall pressed very well in the first 20, 25 minutes. After that, Southampton really came into the game once they got their goal. Talking about the goal, the first goal especially, we'll talk about the first goal. Who do you think is to blame for that goal in terms of what could we have done better, Michael?
I think, obviously, I would love to say don't give away corners, but obviously you can't really prevent that because Ward-Prowse, with his dead balls, he's a big, big problem. If he wants to put it in a six-yard box, which he did, he'll put it there. So it just comes to trying to defend it, and it's very difficult to defend against a ball like that. Very, very difficult. But Rashford wouldn't really... Obviously, he wouldn't defend his man very well. And I think, obviously, it worked out that Cavani came on in the end. But if you have Cavani on at the start, a bit more high, a bit more presence, because Rashford, he's a few inches shorter than, I think, what's his name, the defender that's called? I can't remember now. Yeah, there we go. So my man there. And obviously, he's a bit stronger than him in the air. So it was a bit of a mismatch. So I was a bit disappointed that Rashford was kind of marking him. And then even for subsequent corners, was marking him still. It's like they didn't learn from the first goal. But anyway, I think maybe that's me being a bit harsh, but in any case, I think it's a very good ball and limited things you can do about that ball. I think any sort of connection as the guy got on it, it was going in the net because that ball was very difficult for De Gea to really do anything with the I think that's a very, very harsh goal to complain about defending. Maybe get a bit more height in there, but I think the ball was that good. I literally think the ball is that good, it's very difficult to defend against.
A good keeper in the air comes and gets that.
I don't know.
But the ball was coming in near post. Do you think he comes through the players?
Even if they don't catch it, they influence it in some way, shape or form. That's not too dissimilar from the goal that we conceded to make it 2-2, where we just look stranded and De Gea is just in the goal line with his hands up. Like, come on, you're a big man.
This guy's been watching too much basketball, man.
I think the ball was so near the near post. Today, De Gea has to leave the centre wherever he was, come out and basically potentially take out a player. Obviously, sometimes goalkeepers got to do that. They just got to come and say, this is mine. I'm taking whoever's in front of me. But I think the way the ball was, it was just shoved near post and the guy nicked it before De Gea would have got there. It would have been in the net. So I don't think we could criticize De Gea too much there.
I think the ball was too flat for De Gea to come for it. Because if it was more up in the air and it came down, but the ball was just straight. It was flat. It was a flat delivery, so it can't really come for that. And then because Rashford loses man at the near post, can't really do much. And he was very boxed in at that point as well, so he was very hard to move. So I feel like that's harsh on De Gea.
Yeah.
The second goal, though.
Yeah, because De Gea is not good at coming to get the ball from corners. But a keeper who is comes and influences that. You don't let the ball get that close to the goal and then you just stay on your line. Once it's that close to the goal, you can't just stay on your line and not influence it in any way, shape or form. So you're either waiting for your guy to get it or you're waiting for them to get ahead on it. Your keeper has to be more proactive in those scenarios.
I think even if he does come for it, he doesn't get there because the ball is just it's too flat, because even if he does come for it, it will look like he's in no man's land.
Exactly. He'll end up in a highlight reel.
Did he not with his hands up?
Cool.
That was good, innit?
I think it's a very difficult ball to defend. Very difficult. The way the ball's whipped in, it literally just dropped on the guy's head. He just needed to turn his head in the net.
We just got to give praise to James Ward-Prowse for that delivery, man. That was right on the sixpence for Bednarak. I even felt like it would have been a struggle for Rashford to get there. I think just outstanding delivery. And it looks on the face of it that like the defending team probably should have done slightly better with it. But sometimes just hats off, man.
I think Rashford let his man go.
He wasn't nowhere near him,
man. He kind of went to sleep for a second, bang. Obviously, when you're defending a corner, you can't go to sleep because a man gets a yard and you bang. He's not even near him when he heads the ball. So,
all right, cool. We'll leave it.
But the second goal, now against Istanbul didn't really matter too much. But for their goal, De Gea for some reason dived behind the line. And I thought that was weird. I thought that was hilarious. When he done it versus Southampton now, there was a lot of contention about, was it really his fault? Should he have done better? Was it impossible? I'm going to come to you, Mariah, because you have a very clear view on this.
Yeah, I'm looking at Didi Gigia. The thing is, yeah, once it was a decent strike from James Ward-Prowse, but it wasn't top corner. Once you get a firm hand on it, you have to be influencing the ball. The fact that he's gone backwards, that's also impacted the time with which he's gotten to the ball, because he's gone backwards. I don't understand that. He's gone backwards and to the side. But by the time he's gotten a full hand on it, he can't let it go in from there. Sorry. That's very poor. That's very, and like you said, he did that against Istanbul. And obviously it didn't matter because we were quite clear of them. But in that game, yeah, I'm looking at DDG and saying that either you just get your fingertips to it and it grazes your fingertips and goes in. But isn't this what they train for? Getting a full hand on it. And once you get a full hand on it, your hand is strong. And it's at least bouncing back off your hand and coming out. You just kind of got a full hand to it and then you just let it go in. And the diving backwards thing, I mean, we need a physicist to come on and explain what's going on in that particular scenario.
Personally, I think it just means he's getting across too late, because if he has to dive backwards, his footwork isn't quick enough to get across enough where the ball is still not past the line. So if he's diving backwards, then he's just not getting across fast enough. So that's probably he has to rethink his position on free kicks, or because maybe he's just getting a bit slower and he can't get across. But he got a bang on the knee from that. And we went into halftime, very weird feeling, because we actually played well. Well, we played well and then we got a bit scared. And then we made two changes at halftime. De Gea came off with an injury. And then at the time, I thought it was very harsh that Cavani came on for Greenwood. But Cavani came on and the impact was pretty clear. Mariah, I'm going to come to you first about the first goal.
Him again?
Yeah.
His views cannot be that valid.
Come on. I'm going back around.
Come on, man. Get your pens up. Sit down. Mute him, Elijah. Anyway, yeah. Cavani coming on. He did pretty decent against Istanbul. The thing is, what you see with him is very much a player who has had a long and extended period not playing football, also factoring in his age. So you can see that in his mind, he's still got that mind where he's sharper and faster than all the defenders, but it's almost like his body can't necessarily execute what his mind wants to do. But he's always moving, always a danger, always working. The pass to Bruno, very good from the right-hand side. I saw Cavani on the left, on the right, on the edge of our box, linking up play. The problem with that was that when it then came time to get back up, he didn't have the legs to get back up. What's Cavani doing on the edge of our box? And Bruno. Like I said to you guys at the start, at this point, he is inevitable. It does not matter how he plays. He is going to make sure that he impacts the game in some way. Question marks about if he needs to play as recklessly as he does to be that successful, because I think the passes that he makes from the halfway line where he's trying to play that final ball don't take away from the movement that he has. And he has an anticipation, a sense for where the ball's going to drop. And it happens so often that you cannot say that it's by luck. He's just always in and around the danger area. So it would be great if he could just come back down on those wild passes and pick his moments a bit better. But yeah, good finish on the swivel from Bruno. Good pass from Cavani. And I said, when I spit bars in a ring, man, I go
hard, last stand, tan. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
When I spit bars in a ring, man, I go hard, last and tan. When I was watching on Discord that to get back into the game and win it, we needed a goal within the first 15 minutes. And it was like 59 minutes, 20 something. So once we scored that, I was like, okay, we've got a game on our hands.
Michael, the second goal, that was just classic. To me, that's just something. That's just a South American striker right there. Flinging his head at a ball, which he has no reason to, just flinging it with all his might. But yeah, I mean, at that point, we had a few chances and Cavani was at the heart of it. So just for the second goal, is that something we haven't seen for a while from our current crop of strikers?
Yeah, he was sniffing. Like he took a gamble and it paid off. I don't think we see that enough from, obviously we've seen a lot on the TL since about Martial. Would Martial have done that and whatnot? And deep down, I don't think he's got that killer instinct, that striker's instinct, the instinct to be sniffing in and around the box. I don't know if you can teach that. I think Cavani was just thinking, you know what? If this ball goes to me, I'm in the right position. And the gamble paid off. And I think that you can't teach that. That's someone, as Mariah said, who's been around the game at the highest level for how many years, who knows what it is to score goals, who probably has many goals from just taking a little gamble, just putting his head, as you say, where if someone booted him, I always remember that John Terry kicking off Diaby's head. I always got that image in my head. So you've got to be brave. And he put his head. Sometimes it's brave or stupidity. Either way, he put his head in harm's way, in it, and it fortunately paid off with not just one but two goals.
Stevie, lastly, the third goal. There was a bit that went a bit under the radar until it was spotted on social media, but in a weird basketball way, Maguire posted a screen to get Rashford some space to get the crossing. They are crying for him to get a pre-assist for that, as the media do, because they're nasty with that guy. But yeah, just talk us through the third goal generally.
Yeah, I don't know about all of that screen stuff. I keep it football on this podcast.
Like this,
bro, go get back on mute. But yeah, that's fantastic play from Cavani. Yet again, like the second and the third goals, we just don't have strikers in our team who would actually do that. And I think that win was just symbolized by Cavani's play there. Like, top striker, he's got the header. It's not even an easy header to do, and it's characterized by the near post run he's made as well. Yeah, I'm coming to claim all my clout tokens on this podcast today, because I said Cavani should be starting on this podcast. They savaged me. I said it in the chat too. They savaged me again. But there they were celebrating his two goals. And I need to claim.
Because they want
to
win games. What are you talking about?
look, I'm not done. Hey,
I know you're not. I know you're not done.
Mariah, you almost had me giving up our saviour. Giving up our saviour, Bruno Fernandes. He almost tricked me into saying he's crap. But since that day, this guy has come out every week. And now you're like a mouthpiece for me. Talking about Bruno. What a quality player. Obviously.
Let me say that. I said he's a good player. I didn't say, don't put words in my mouth. In terms of Cavani still is not at his sharpest. So that 45 minutes was great. Didn't notch against Istanbul, probably the poorest side that we've played this season. He's coming along. Like, long term, our future is still Martial or Mason Greenwood. But enjoy that. That's a big win for us, a big 3 points. We're now up among the top half of the table, and another win against West Ham, which will be tough, would mean that we're in and around the top four. Considering the fact that we've what won one game at home, that would
stink. You know what, Mariah?
That would be,
you know what, Mariah?
Go on.
I've got to ask you, do you actually think Greenwood and Rashford are the futures of being strikers? Because to me, that performance, it just showed that we lack that kind of striker. Maybe like you can call Greenwood and Rashford forwards almost, but we don't have someone in our team, obviously, except Cavani, who seems to absolutely be hungry for all of those different types of goals. And I think we need that all-round number nine. Obviously, we've heard Haaland being mentioned, but I don't think in our current ranks we've got him. Like, to me, Greenwood, obviously, he's still got to develop, so it's still to be seen. But him, Rashford and Martial kind of look like, to me, like the new sort of inside forwards where they play on the wings and still bag a lot of goals. But I don't know if they can do that all-round number nine job.
I think all of them have aspects. You put them all together, you probably get your perfect number nine. I think you put your money on Greenwood. He's a coldest finisher. I think where his issue comes in is his development physically. I think that's probably what's holding him back the most. But he's only 19, so it's not something that I'm particularly worried about at this point. The movement, you can learn the patterns. That's coaching. That's an aspect of coaching in there. You can see, like, even to bring, I hate to bring up Martial because he's going through a horrible patch of form, but there's just a general busyness that you want your number nine to have. They shouldn't be static. They should always be on their toes. And you watch that in comparison to the performance that Aubameyang gave for Arsenal against Wolves. And that's a guy who's probably one of the most prolific strikers in Europe over the last 5 to 7 years. But he was missing chances because he wasn't on his toes. Generally, he is. He's generally in and around the box sniffing. And it's an application thing, mainly. Your striker has to make that run constantly, all game. You make that run 50 times, 49 times, no one's going to pick you out. The 50th time, they get you and you end up getting a goal. Or that run is creating space for somebody else to do something dangerous. So I think for the foreseeable, until his form turns around, Martial we're talking about now, you start him, Rashford and Cavani together. And Rashford, as Martial gets his confidence and his sharpness back, we put him back up top.
I think what you said there is just, I think with Rashford and Martial, I think they're very petulant when they make, so for example, when we talk about making that same move over and over again, because they will see that if the ball's not coming to them, they'll just stop making that move. So like, that's something that you can't do as a striker. You have to make the movements all the time, especially Martial has to make the movements all the time. But Martial usually makes a movement based on who has the ball. So if he sees Pogba or Bruno has the ball, he will make that run because he's confident he'll find him. But even at that point, like you said, if you make the run, you create space for someone else, that will still open up space. So yeah, just generally, like you say, Martial's in terrible form. And we just saw just the difference in terms of the movement. He's just a killer. Like, at the end of the day, that was just a bit of rolling back the year, so it was good to see. But there was another performance I want to talk about, which was Donny van de Beek, who was very impressive to me personally. Some people said he was average or he didn't do much, but personally, when you see the madness of Bruno, seeing the tranquility of Donny van de Beek is just very, it does warm my heart. So I wanted to come to Stevie about Van de Beek, since you love Bruno with all your heart.
Yeah, I think it's all about balance, isn't it? And I think we've struggled to have a midfielder who looks confident in possession probably since the days of Carrick and Scholes. So I think I liked the differing characteristics of the midfield yesterday, because you have Matic, who positionally is probably the most astute we have of the defensive midfielders. Fred, in terms of the pressing, he's all over it, chasing balls down and giving us lots of energy. And then we have Bruno, who's obviously just there to put up numbers on the board. But in Van de Beek, we had someone who we really lack in the team, which is someone who's actually confident in possession, can take the ball under pressure and knows what to do with it every single time. And that should, in effect, be what Pogba is able to do. But I guess he's a bit more in and out with his form. And I don't want to slander him because it's more about Van de Beek. But I just thought his ability to pick the right decision and the right ball each time just made our play pretty calm. And I think it's probably what is making United fans overgas his performance, because we're just not used to seeing anyone who's competent in possession for 90 minutes. So, yeah, it was encouraging to see. I thought it did, like, I thought the formation did take away a bit of our width. And that's why I think Cavani helped when he came on as well, because he's played out wide for PSG. And so we're stretching the game a bit. But in terms of Van de Beek and that diamond, I thought the personnel in midfield was really well balanced, and he played really well. He needs to keep his spot.
It was weird because at the end of the game, when we was holding on for the win, there was three times Van de Beek got the ball and he'd just done a very simple thing, and he just found a man in space, which was Rashford, just switched the ball three times. And then I looked at myself and thought, why am I so impressed with a midfielder being able to find someone in space? And it just really shows how shocking my full football club has been over these past few years. But Michael, going forward, do you think we should keep the diamond? And if we do keep the diamond, do you think we should keep it with the same personnel?
The diamond, to be honest, I know people were saying earlier that they thought we were indecent in the first half. I kept on seeing Mason and Rashford hitting the wing. So every time, or dropping deep to get the ball. So every time the midfielders had the ball, if they're looking up, they got someone in the wing. There was no one as a focal point to hit. If you're going to play the 4-4-2 diamond, you got to, in this team anyway, you got to have at least either Cavani or Martial. I don't think, because at least they are more in the striker mode, even though Martial is, sometimes is he a nine, is he a winger, but elf forward, I should say. But I think to have a focal, if you're going to do 4-4-2, you've got to have a focal point. I kept on seeing Mason and Rashford hitting the wings. So you can change the personnel, but maybe put Cavani there. It's not my favourite position, especially with our full-backs. Telles gets up, but sometimes Wan-Bissaka doesn't want to get forward. We know that's not your strong point. So you lose a bit of balance. If you're going to have a tight midfield and everyone's sort of tucked in, then you've got to have the full-back very comfortable to push forward. That's probably why you kept on getting Rashford and Greenwood hitting the wings, because the fullbacks weren't making the difference. My preferred formation is 4-3-3, with maybe one more defensive and two sort of more forward-thinking midfielders, or at least someone who's got to be more defensive, i.e. Fred. And then you've got Van der Beek, who he's comfortable playing the sixth position. And then you've got Bruno a bit more further forward to link up with the sort of striker and other forwards.
I hear that. So, Mariah, so that win was actually quite influential because Arsenal lost. Well, actually, Arsenal 14th, it doesn't matter. Liverpool drew. Chelsea and Spurs drew. Leicester lost. I think Aston Villa are drawing right now. Southampton, who are above us, they lost. Everton lost. So quite a few of those who are above us lost, and I think right now we are 5 points off the top with a game in hand, and our game in hand's Burnley away, and that's in January, I think. But if we keep up this form and we win our game in hand, we could potentially be in somehow in a title race, maybe. Do you think, Mariah?
For those of you who aren't watching, I'm doing the Mbappe shoulder shrug to the PSG Ultras. Listen, we got West Ham on Sunday, and that is going to be a big game for us in terms of what you're discussing. Ollie, how does he do it? How the hell does he do it? How the hell does he get in a position where he has been poor, and we've been poor for the majority of the season, but we're sniffing the top of the table? It's ridiculous, and I've decided and I've accepted that him and Bruno as a duo, they are unstoppable. So basically what he's realized now is that for all his faults, this Bruno Fernandes guy is going to do things which show up on the stat sheet, which lead to positive results. So I'm going to let him do whatever he wants, and I'm literally going to build my whole team around getting the most out of Bruno Fernandes. And just to go back to Donny van de Beek, what was also good to see about him is that he's industrious. So you know when players come from across the continent and you're like, are they going to be able to adjust to the physicality of the Premier League and stuff? He was getting stuck in. And then when he was getting stuck in, he also had the thing that Fred doesn't have, that he then has the vision, the presence of mind to then pick the right pass. To then pick, And this is why I said when I watched him a couple of times, I feel like he is the best player that we have who plays as a midfielder. While there are more talented midfielders than him in our squad, how they decide to use those talents across 90 minutes is questionable. I think, I'm not going to say our luck's going to run out, but I've seen what I've seen, isn't it? I don't think it's sustainable. Bruno is sustainable, but I don't think across 90 minutes, the amount of players we have not necessarily playing well, I think across the season, we're gonna lose more than we're gonna win, to be honest with you. We, apart from Cavani's cameo, we don't really have an attacker who's firing. Rashford's got 2 in 9. Martial hasn't scored a league goal. Greenwood hasn't scored a league goal. Daniel James, we won't even talk about him because Ollie doesn't use him anymore. Pogba is completely in the mud. The team is now pulling out results. And listen, that whole midfield played well. Fred was really good on Sunday as well, especially in the second half. He was winning the ball high up the pitch. He was finding players. He almost even got on the end of Rashford. Fred trying to score goal. Like, what's going on,
guys? Mario, you lot, I think you lot are slightly a bit too critical of Fred. Like, I think if you play him in the pivot and maybe with Van de Beek, who's obviously competent in possession, if he just gets the ball and gives it to Van de Beek, keeps it simple, then he does like a really important job for our team.
How many men are we going to have who just keep it simple? Like, we need some. We need some guys who are actually going to be doing progressive things on the ball.
Yeah.
I like him in spurts, but he's obviously not good enough. But I'll give him credit when he plays well. I honestly do not know what to make of this team. It's an absolute, like, what are we? Who are we? Like, we're coming. I honestly don't know what to make of this team.
Because this week we'll be happy, yeah. But you know, we can't win 3 league games on the trot. So in 2 weeks, we will be here starting a mutiny again. Like, there's no two ways about it. But I think it shows as well how much we need, like, a right winger. And I think Diallo's right-footed, isn't he?
He's
left-footed. He cuts in.
Oh, is he left-footed? But I feel like we just need someone, because obviously Wan-Bissaka is not giving us any width. So we need someone desperately.
He's still sticking it up. Don't you guys forget that. He's still Wan-Bissaka-ing it up.
Bam. So we just need that option.
That Walker roll, Wan-Bissaka, 30.
So hold on. If you had your wish, Elijah, how do you line up?
if I had my wish, it would be a 4-3-3. It would be Henderson, Wan-Bissaka. I mean, we don't have any centre backs that off it, except for Maguire and Lindelof, so they'll play anyway. Telles, then I'll have Matic, Van de Beek, Pogba, Bruno right, Rashford left, Martial up top.
All right then. Yeah,
all right, the silence was definitely. When I spit bars in a ring,
man, I go hard, last stand. Hello, me here from Touchline Fracas. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. So businesses all over the globe have been challenged to be their most efficient, and that means that every single hire that they have is critical. Indeed are the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the right person for your business. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, so you only pay for what you need. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out for a free $75 credit at indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. When
I
spit bars in a ring, man,
I go hard, last stand. I know. It's sickening, but that's that me.
That's terrorism right there, boy.
That's me. Yeah, I'm nasty.
You ride that one of those
I respect it. And I think also, we've got to give Ollie some credit. He made a big change of taking off. I don't necessarily say a big change, but when Cavani came on, I was kind of like, really? And he's come on to the effect of two goals and an assist. So we've got.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, 100%. That's a managerial decision, definitely. And
he set up the team in a way that we're managing to, while not necessarily look impressive, we're managing to pull out results. We saw what Southampton did to us the back end of last season. We remember the pod after, how rattled we were. Across the 90, like, they didn't really have a clear chance in the whole second half. Across the 90,
yeah, we snuffed them
out. It really came down to a great corner from Ward-Prowse and a good free kick from Ward-Prowse as well. Other than that, we kept them pretty quiet. Obviously, Ings didn't play, but you can see we progressed the ball a lot quicker through midfield, so guys weren't sitting on it, so the press could come. At times, De Gea was going a bit longer and bypassing the midfield completely. So there seems to be a sense of some understanding. Is it vibes? Is it understanding? Is he improving?
That's vibes, bro.
Find out on the next episode of Mugga, man.
Bro, I've watched the next episode. I know how it ends.
Hey, man. That's still a long way to go. So considering we've still got Champions League, if we weren't dickheads in Turkey, we would have been through by now. But obviously, we have to get 1 point in our next two games to qualify. We've got PSG at home next. So it's going to be a weird one because PSG, they're looking terrible right now. They lost a 2-0 lead to Monaco recently. They obviously lost to us. They lost to Leipzig. They, even in their win versus Leipzig, they got battered, I heard. And they only beat Istanbul 1-0. So they're not looking too pretty. What do you think of that matchup going into the game, Michael?
I was scared before our away fixture, and I'm scared now. Anytime you've got sort of Neymar and Mbappe on the pitch, they can make magic happen. Even though they've not been in the best of form, them guys are world-class players, and when they get going, it could be scary. It depends if they want it and if their supporting cast are with it. But at the same time, that said, it's a weird one because in the league, we've been terrible at OT. Absolutely shocking at OT. But in the Champions League, we've scored, 9 goals, conceded 1? Albeit against lesser opposition. So it literally just depends what team's going to come out. Is it going to be the Champions League version or is it going to be the league version? If it's the league version, maybe we can sneak out a little win. If it's a champion, if it's the league version, then we're getting spanked. If it's a Champions League version, maybe we can sneak a cheeky 1 or 2-0. Now, let me correct that. 2-1, they'll score. I think they have to score. with that forward line, they're scoring regardless, whether I like it or not. So it really just depends what team and the mentality they go out with. Because in the league, yeah, obviously Tottenham put 6 before us, and that could have been more in that game. So if they come out in that mentality, it's going to be a cricket score.
What the hell was that? What?
That was not the sound you're trying to make.
No, I'm trying to make a woo-wee. A sound of fear. I don't know. That's the sound I make when I'm scared.
Is that the sound of fear?
That's my sound when I'm in fear. That's my fearful sound.
That's what you do when you're in a position
patience.
When you're scared.
Yeah. Patience must hate that sound.
They hear every day.
Stevie, I think, yeah,
we seem to have 3 formations settled now. We're 3 at the back, diamond, or 4-2-3-1, the infamous 4-2-3-1. What do you think we're going to set up as when we face PSG?
That's an interesting one. I don't know what he's going to go with, Ole. He actually flings out tactical surprises for fun. So I genuinely don't know how we're going to line up. I don't even know at this point what formation I'd prefer, because it seems it's more down to how the personnel are feeling on the day rather than what formation we seem to fit in. But I just need us to turn up, because this Tuchel guy's been stealing a living since his Dortmund days. Like, this guy is clueless. So I think if we just have a decent defensive shape, all we need, as you said, is a point. So if we're there to nick it and just keep it tight at the back, try not to concede more than one, then then I'll be happy with that. But I'm not too sure how we'll line up. But I do want to see Van der Beek playing, because I think we do need to try and retain possession as much as possible. I want to see Cavani playing against his old team and giving us a bit of aerial threat. And obviously he'll have the added incentive. And yeah, I probably want to see Martial playing as well. So if we can do that, 4-3-3 with Cavani, Martial and Rashford, I think that might bode well for Champions League and the rest of the season as well.
Apparently that was one of the main reasons Cavani signed for us. He saw the draw, he saw we'll be facing PSG. And he said, boy, you better get me on that. That is generally apparently one of the reasons why I signed for Man United. Yeah, yeah, that's apparently one of the reasons. I'm being serious.
One of my enemies.
He loves it.
We've got to play him because he's not going to be playing in the league.
Oh yeah.
He's about to catch that ban, boy.
He's gonna eat a long one. Jeez.
Well, are we gonna talk about that or are we
gonna come on to that after the PSG game?
Rashford needs a rest.
Yeah.
I think so he does. Saying, Cavani up top, Martial on the left. Who's on the right?
You know who.
I just throw in Dan James, man. He'll run.
Who?
Nah, Stevie, stop this. Stop this, man. Stop this. He's just having too much fun.
He'll run up and down.
Nah, Stevie, so scary, stop this, man. Stop this.
The only reason I'd want to see Dan James versus PSG is if we're holding on with 5 minutes to go and he's playing right wing back. Apart from that, there's absolutely no need for him. In any football match.
You who must not be named. We got a couple of players like looking like Lord Voldemort out there still.
No,
where's Lingard?
Lingard, he's doing JBL adverts.
He was self-isolated, bro. He was injured first and was self-isolating because he was around someone who had COVID. So he's just back now. That guy's not a footballer anymore. He's a full-time carer. So, yeah.
That's peak, man. I feel like we need someone who can do a defensive job against Neymar and just track back.
Why did you ask about Lingard then?
No, I was saying I feel like we need someone who can do a defensive job.
Who comes to mind?
What Fred, just to stick on Neymar. Just like one out, like just
Neymar will get Fred sent off. He better be
careful. That's a dangerous game, bro.
Who else is there? Matic hasn't got the legs.
We have not got a player of the profile which Stevie requests. Where's Paul Pogba, please, by the way?
He's
got ankle
still swollen.
Right. Swollen from what? He hasn't been playing any football, fam.
That's he's been true. Playing like three games in three in a week. For
he's played, but
he's not played football.
Apparently.
What does that mean?
He ain't been balling.
But yeah, apparently Solskjaer said he'll see how he is in training. That's what he said the last few games. So, but his ankle keeps having a reaction and keeps swelling up. So, but it's not the same ankle that. It's not the same ankle that caused him the problem as last year. So that's a good sign. So hopefully we'll be back soon.
Yeah, he played both of them last time, innit? McTominay and Fred. So I'm sure he'll revert to what he trusts in it to. Even though we're at home playing a sort of defensive sort of midfield, two defensive midfielders, and Fred and McTominay.
Just from what I was reading, Icardi's not going to be playing and Draxler's not going to be available. Draxler is touch and go. Verratti came off the bench on the weekend, and there was someone else who was ruled out as well. So I'm not sure what they're going to play in midfield, but if it's anything like the midfield they played the first game, I'll be very happy because that was a midfield. Herrera, Gay and Mark Kinos, that's just plumbing central, just full of plumbers.
I think Verratti will play in it. If they get Verratti and if they got Angel, Neymar, Mbappe, I don't know. Maybe I don't know if they're going to start Moise Keane or not. So, yeah, you know, they're a good team. They're a very good team.
They've got good players. I don't think they're a good team.
What you said. They got good.
If Verratti plays, it could get very long for us. But
I do think he'll hit as well. He's in the middle, right?
Oh no, yeah. So he's just come back from injury recently, so he just come off the bench recently. So I'm not sure if he will start, but yeah.
Because I don't think if he plays free midfield, unless he plays the diamond again, if he plays free midfield, he's gonna do McTominay, Fred. He can't drop Bruno. He will never drop Bruno. So that may mean that Van de Beek doesn't start if he goes back to free midfield.
Yeah, that's probably why he started against Southampton as well. To be honest,
we need Bruno to rise it one more time. Still,
nah, he's got it in him, man.
That guy, I love it. I hate it, but I love it. But we alluded to it earlier. In his joyous moods, Cavani.
I just want to hear how you intend to cover this, Elijah.
In his joyous mood, he said a word which could be interpreted in a number of ways. One of the ways is as a racial slur. In Uruguay, it has taken on a bit of a different meaning where it can apply to a whole load of ethnic races, not just a black person. It can mean as a friend. But considering he's in England and considering the cases of Bernardo Silva and Ali, it's looking very likely that he will get a fine and a ban. What do you think about the whole situation in general? And also, do you see any comparison with Suarez at all? Because apparently they used the same word when they actually didn't.
Yeah, go on, Michael.
Started. You know what? I just want to replay, because in the WhatsApp group on Sunday, it was just a wave of emotions, because obviously initially we're all gassed that Cavani scored two goals, we're all excited, and then I think the post gets put in that he says the greeter, and we're like, what? Oh my day, he used the word. And then obviously it was the context, obviously you were saying thank, I think a friend complimented him, and then obviously you're saying it, you're using it in that context as a form of endearment. And then it was like, okay, fine. And then Tom put a post of him with the Jamaican Olympic team, something like that. So there's like, oh, right, he's cool with black people then. It's not a biggie. And then you see him saying that the Jamaican team's an African team. And you're like, oh, God, like this Cavani, he's really not helping himself at all.
You know what? At all. If this came out and he hadn't scored two goals, we would have buried him.
100.
Literally, the fact that he scored two goals has got people tweaking. Obviously, intent is important here, and his intent was, like you say, in Uruguay, it has multiple meanings, so his intent wasn't to cause offence, but the FA have to go by the letter of the law, and when you use those sort of terms, they have to throw the book at you. So am I annoyed at him for saying it? Not really, because he didn't know what he was saying when he was saying it. But when you add the other stuff, it gets spicy.
that Jamaica being an African team.
But listen, this is the ignorance. These guys are just these guys are jocks, innit? They're athletes. They don't know much about black people or our history or our heritage. So what more do you expect, really? I'm not surprised.
You funny. You have to consider that he's a Uruguayan. He spent 7 years in Italy. I'm not surprised that he's not very clued up on the
there are some sweeping generalizations coming.
Elijah's not playing games.
I can't lie.
No, but but the Italian FA don't give a toss, man. We've seen their attempts in it. The Italian FA don't give a toss.
I think in this case, obviously, like, we know the meaning of the word in Uruguay, and I think sometimes, like, just apply a bit of common sense. Obviously the FA could go and ban him, but you know he's not used it in any offensive manner, and you know what the term means to the country. So it's cultural ignorance on Cavani's part, but I also feel like it's cultural ignorance on the FA's part if they decide to ban him, because then they're just ignoring Uruguayans in general.
They have to. Obviously, no, we can't be spending years saying Black Lives Matter, and then obviously someone is using a racial slur against black people, seem to be ignoring it. Obviously, they won't be fearful that they're gonna get absolutely castrated. So that's probably why.
But then on the
on
the Black Lives Matter issue, like, I don't want to turn it into a political podcast, but then no benefit is going to come from banning someone. Like, it's just, you need to educate people. The ban in itself is not going to do anything. So I think the education piece is more important than that. And he will be educated, and he's not a twat. Like, he's not done it with any intent. He's not Suarez. So I think that's more important for the FA rather than be seen to be doing performative gestures.
But you know they're going to go with the performative gesture. But yeah, to be honest, one of the few times I actually completely agree with you. That wasn't his intention. So for them to ban him for it is just them just there. Yeah, no nuance whatsoever. He put up an apology today. Listen, we need his goals, innit? So, boy.
morals out the window, innit?
opposition fans are going to be asking for him to be banned. Not because they were offended by what he said, but he's loading now. He's loading, so
it's
unfortunate the timing couldn't have been worse after a great performance and putting in that win for us. But I'm with Stevie. Jokes aside, it really makes no sense for them to ban him when that clearly wasn't his intention.
Agreed. I just think they probably want to be seen to do the performative stuff, especially after their, was it chairman? What's that guy that had to duck out last month? What's the other? He was given evidence at Parliament, and then he was using outdated terms in it. So they have to be consistent with that and make sure they're looking, like, even though there's no nuance to it, they have to be seen to be looking like they're doing the right thing in it. And that's where United fans are going to suffer.
So Bernardo Silva he done something worse where he compared Mendy to a black cartoon character and said, compare the difference with a childhood picture. He got a one-game ban, a 50k fine, and I think he had to do an educational course. Ali, for his coronavirus video where about Chinese people, he got a one-game ban, 55k fine, and had to do an educational course as well. So if that is the case, it's looking like Cavani will get the same thing. I mean, it is what it is. There's precedents for it, even if he didn't mean it in that way. It's more about offending people than it is the context that it was used in.
Are any of you offended?
No, not really.
I'm not gonna lie, that was a great source of banter and entertainment for my Sunday evening. I'm gonna keep it real.
I wasn't offended personally, but people will be. I mean, yeah. So I guess we won't see him. I'm not sure when they're going to decide that or not. They took a while with Bernardo Silva and Ali. We'll see if they charge him or not. But they're investigating as of now. So that is Cavani and how he almost spoiled a great day.
I love when it's investigating. Like, it's done.
It's literally
like done.
They will put on a whole committee of five to investigate.
Did you post that on your Insta? Yes.
It was me.
They'll be back in 2 months still.
Jeez. Waste of time, man.
All right. Now, let's get into some listeners' questions. There's a few. All right. So there are two questions that address the same topic, and I'll read them both out. One is from Piosh. What do you reckon is going on with Rashford on the pitch? His performances have been underwhelming. And another one is from Edzino. When will Rashford watch series begin? LOL. What has
question? Sorry.
When will Rashford watch series begin? LOL.
That was the second question. Wasn't there two?
So the first one was, what do you reckon is going on with Rashford on the pitch? His performances have been underwhelming.
Funnily enough, he's done well in the Champions League. He's been prolific. He's grabbed goals. He's even played so promisingly from the right that I wouldn't mind seeing him there for an extended period of time. I think he's been unlucky. I think he's a bit tired as well. The games have come thick and fast. I'm not worried, to be honest. He's getting into good positions. His execution needs to be better. But yeah, I literally just think he needs a rest. But yeah, I'm not particularly worried about Rashford, to be honest with you.
I think the question of him is pretty pathetic, to be fair. I mean, considering the form of Martial, considering the form of Greenwood, even though he is young, to come out and question Rashford when the whole team as a whole haven't been creating chances and they've been pretty poor. He's got, what, 2 goals in 9? And, of course, he needs to make bad decisions, evidenced by the chance where he should have squared to Cavani, even though he was offside. And there were multiple times where he kept kind of on his right foot when the space was out left. But to come here and say performance has been underwhelming, we do this too much with him, to be honest. I think whenever he's doing badly, you're just far too harsh on him, and he just needs a bit of space. Because like at the end of the day, if we look at him holistically, he's got 7 in 15, I think. So it's not that bad. A lot of that's come to Champions League, but if you're just looking at numbers, as we do for certain other guys, he's doing okay. So,
I'm with you. And to be fair to you, I was probably back in the last season, start of this season, in that camp where probably when he did well, didn't sing his praises enough, and when he didn't do so well, was onto his back a bit more. And I just got a bit more context. Like he's coming back from injuries, he carried the team for a large part of last season. What he did against Leipzig was amazing. And he's still like, when we're not even able to link the play to the attack, he's taking the ball, he's taking guys on one-on-one, beating people off pure instinct and muscle memory. And the last part of his evolution is what you mentioned there, Elijah, which is the decision-making. Once he gets the decision-making down, he's going to be a monster. So, feel like we've been having that conversation for a few years, but he's only 23, man.
Yep,
been around for ages, but he's literally only 23. So Rashford is the least of my worries, personally speaking.
Yeah, I feel like we do need to sing his praises more. We're way too harsh on him, and obviously he's got another part-time job feeding the country as well. So he's probably a bit fatigued from that as well. So you know what, we've got to cut him a bit more slack. He does the business for us more often than not, and if you look at our wide men and our forwards, he's probably the most reliable at the minute. So, yeah.
Not even probably, he is. And again, he had his imprint on the game on Sunday.
Yeah, you got the assist for the winning goal. So, do you think Ollie can take him to the next level like Pep took Sterling to the next level?
No, he can't.
Ask silly questions, Michael.
He can't. But, I mean, that is just an issue. That's just an issue that we have, because now we're at a point where now's the perfect time. I think Sterling was around this age when Pep got hold of him. Perfect time for a manager to come in and say, yeah, this is what you do. You work on the movements, you work on the decision making, then he goes clear. But we're going to persist with this guy, with this just vibes attitude, and it's going to... I don't want to see him get wasted personally. And I feel like if he is capped at a certain level, then it will just make me so sad. But hopefully he doesn't come to that.
I feel like with Rashford, obviously, because he's been playing at United and he's been in the first team, probably not due to his own fault, more in terms of our squad quality, for so long that we forget how old he is. And if you look at the top players in the league, like people like Mane, people like Salah, people like Ronaldo when he came in, like these people, they peak at like 26, 27, do you know what I mean? So he's still got another year to go, and he's still got time to find his consistency and his true level. There will be inconsistencies. He is still young, so we got to cut him a bit more slack and show him a bit more love.
He's still young. He's 23. He's still got a bit of time. Martial's, what, 25 this week? So, you know,
we can't mention one without mentioning the other, you know.
No. I'm sorry. I'm going off the point of obviously these guys are getting into their sort of formative sort of years, the years where you want to, it's not your young player anymore. It's the time where you're like, okay, deliver now. And I'm just saying that Rashford's just turned 23 a month ago. Rashford's Rashford turned 23, Martial's 25 soon. So they get into an age where it's like, rah, like, are we going to miss the opportunity to coach them a bit more? That's the point I'm getting to. Not that I'm trying to compete the two. And is Ollie the right man to, you know?
I think for them, the biggest kind of influence on their stats, if we're talking about from a stats perspective, is the system that they play in. They've been in and around the first team for 5-6 years now. Not once have they played in a team that consistently produces good opportunities for mm-hmm. their attackers. And a lot of the best work that they do is off their own back, especially in the case of Rashford and Martial at his best. But yeah, despite that, when you do get yourselves into those positions, your execution needs to be top-notch, because that execution turns the 7 goals in 15 to 10 goals in 15 and turns the 2 league goals in 9 games to 5 league goals in 9 games. And you're 1-2 without pens. And from wide, those are top numbers. So he's almost there. He's almost there. He influences the game with his speed, with his directness, his ability to score goals. He can pick out a pass. He's got a lot to his game, man. He's got a lot to his locker. And we're really lucky to have that level of talent coming through our academy, and not too far behind his heels, Mason too. So, yeah, man, he's fully got my backing.
Cool. Next question is from Adams One. Harry Adams, my guy. Yes or no from all the cast members, should we sell Pogba this January?
Yes.
No.
Oh, no, not in January, sorry. No, not in January.
I think January is always a silly time to sell.
Not in January.
No.
You know, I'm so against Pogba that I just got excited by the question.
Yes.
Good stuff.
And then I deep the timing later. Like, the timing on the
And then the second part is, should we cash in on Marsh? Yeah.
Did he put when?
No, just should we cash in on Martial?
Not for now.
You know what, yeah? If we can get about 50 M's for Martial,
I
think
we
can go out.
I think we can go out. Didn't he cost about that? How much did he cost?
How much do you think he's worth on this market?
He's worth more than we bought him for.
What number on it?
I think you can get about 80 million for Martial.
80? 65.
I think about 80. Yeah, he's 25. He's got years ahead of him. He's young, quick. He scored 23 goals last season. Depends how this season goes.
You think Martial will leave, my boy? That's a magic.
I think 65 makes sense. Pitch him at 80, man. Don't pitch him too low.
Would I sell him? No, but man, I need Martial. I need to see something now. It's getting harder to defend. It's getting harder to defend him because he's gone back to the middling application, and the middling application is the difference between him being mayor and him being a top attacker. Let ask me that question again at the end of the season. But yeah, if it continues in this vein and he goes back to that Martial who 1 week we're happy with him, the next week we're not happy with him, then yeah, this ends. And we get some cash on it, and we look for a new striker.
Yeah, I think we can move on from him. I'm not even saying it from a perspective where I don't think he's going to turn out to be this all-round amazing player that he is. But I just think right now, like, where he is probably not quite right for us, and we're quite reliant on him becoming successful for our club to prosper. And so I think if we depart from him for the right money, we could bring in the sort of number 9 with a profile that we actually need, and it wouldn't be a bad deal for all parties. Haaland.
Why would he come here?
So his dad hates United.
He played for City.
His dad was a crap player, man. His dad don't know.
No, Roy Keane took out his dad, man. That's how he ended his dad's career.
His dad played for Leeds as well.
Yeah, he played for
Leeds. So, boy, that's a hell of a combo.
But
if you're Haaland, why did you come to Manchester United?
because Ole speaks Norwegian.
Then why didn't he come here initially?
Bro. Look,
his dad told him not to, fam. His dad told him, look.
I said, I'm not the negotiator. I'm asking you one question. No, he's barely negotiating.
I ain't got the answer this way.
I bought you your first TV.
This is from DMF.
No. I want to hear what you think, Elijah.
About me? No. I wouldn't cash in on him. I think it would be silly. I just keep him. If he's not good enough to get into 11, we keep him on the bench. That's someone you keep. Because, to be honest, if you're trying to build a good team, if you want someone there who's going to try and compete for places, Martial can be someone who can try and compete for places. Like selling him and then bringing in someone else. Of course, it will make the first team better, but why not just buy someone else and just keep him, and then we have a much better team. Like, that's what I don't get about the need to sell him. Yeah,
he can play on the left and he can play up top. So yeah, we can keep him. What's he on? Close to 200 bags a week, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's just United. We have our keepers between them earn 500k.
Yeah, I've also done the maths. Don't worry about that. Cool, fair enough. We keep him hanging around, loitering, hoping for that one season when he explodes, man. I mean, just to after what he did last season, just to what he's doing, what he's serving up now is just, it's making me sick, man.
Oh, no, he's been
too far to drop, man. There should be a bare minimum standard you don't drop below, even if you're having stinkers. Your stinkers,
yeah, can't and that standard, bad, he probably can't even see it from where he's playing at the moment, man.
He's been really poor, but there's no, I mean, there's no reason he should be. He just needs to get better, and that's it. But I mean, to be honest, this was bound to happen. I mean, that second season when the expectations go up, you either sustain it or there might be a dip, and then who knows if he can get back up. Hopefully he does, but I mean, this dip for me was always going to come. So it's just
really,
it's just a how he
seemed to dip. So after his first, we were like, his first season up top, most prolific season, mm-hmm. we're going to give him a second season, yeah. and he's going to start the season with everybody around him. You thought he would dip?
I thought that it would be a thing where initially, once the season started again, because the season stopped, he's not playing week in, week out again. It stopped. There was a hard stop. And then he comes back. We're not really fit. No preseason. I didn't think he was going to carry this on from the start. I didn't think he would start fast. But by now, I'm expecting more. Like, it's about to be December. He has got a goal in the league. I think Kane has more goals and assists combined than he has shots on goal.
Yeah,
he
hasn't got a shot on target or something like that, is it?
He's got two. He got two versus.
That was a banner from rival fans.
Yeah, he got two versus West Brom. I was so happy, but yeah, now we need to turn that into goals. DMFV2 Daniel, my guy, said, putting all agendas aside, what's the best midfield we can play to get results? Ignore playing certain styles, etc., because Oli doesn't have one.
For me, Bruno, obviously, must. He's first name on the team sheet. And then I would have Van der Beek and Fred as double pivot. Whether or not Van der Beek can play that position is to be seen. But in my eyes, that seems to be probably the most successful.
Don't even worry about formations or tactics. Just what's the best midfield? Asking a question that will force you not to say Pogba, basically. Don't worry about form, what they've done the last 5 years, how poor they've been this season, formation, tactics. What's our best midfield?
Actually, just thinking about that, I don't even think that would work. But I just play it for vibes because I know Fred positionally is not going to stick at six, and Van der Beek will probably straight as well. But at this point, just do it, man.
I think Van der Beek, if he gets given the instruction to stay, he'll stay.
Exactly, and he's not going to get that instruction.
It's crazy. They've got Michael Carrick.
Van de Beek, Pogba, Bruno. F it. Just get them. Get all our most talented.
Bang, bang. I said that on the pod a few weeks ago. If you want a proper attacking, just bun it. Don't just hope Lindelof can handle it. And Maguire can handle it. Just put them three there.
Lindelof cannot handle it, so we'll
But you know they can't handle it. It's going to burst in flames.
You know what?
Let them spray the ball about, innit?
That's why I want to see it, because people are starting to think Lindelof and Maguire are good again. They need to stop. They need to be serious and realise these guys need two bounces in front of them just to look mid. They're not good. They make me sick.
Ollie protects them a lot. Ollie protects them a lot.
That caps us as a team so much, because you need your centre-backs to be able to deal with the high levels of physical and technical ability of attackers, because you're going to expose them at times, which means that your team is more potent going forward. As long as you have one of your midfielders who is aware, and your midfielders as a whole pay attention to not leaving them too exposed, it should work. These guys are so mid. They are so mid. You can't even... One man's not enough. One man is not enough. You need two people who are constantly in front of the two of them, yes, looking after scary. Them, just to look solid. So
they have to do the box thing, isn't it?
That's £120 million worth of defence right there. Adding Wan-Bissaka, that's £170 million. Adding Alex Telles, that's almost £200 million. But if you chuck in Luke Shaw, that is £200 million. We spent £200 million on our current back four, and I don't think any of them is a starter. It's not starter quality.
Scary. Very scary. And the thing, it's not even through the lack of money. That's the most annoying thing. If it was like, rah, we've not invested enough, then you're like, cool, bring out the wallet, flipping Edward Wood. But it's not. It's just that we buy these players, we overspend in some cases, a la Maguire, and they're just not good enough. I don't know. They're not good enough.
The thing about overspending as well is, if the player goes on to be a success, nobody talks about it, because your performances are leading to positive results for your team. Positive results for your team mean more success, etc., etc. The only time you hear somebody's transfer fee be mentioned again and again is when they have not justified it. So that's where we stand right now. What do we do with that? Because what's their resale value? What would you get if you tried to sell Wan-Bissaka? What would you get if you tried to sell Lindelof? What would you get if you tried to sell Shaw? What would you get if you tried to sell Maguire? You might get
less than half.
You get probably for each of them, you'll get half of what you paid for them. Maguire, you probably wouldn't get half of what you paid for him. So where does that leave? On top of people not wanting to even take those wages on. So how good does the midfield and attack in front of them need to be for us to be successful with that back line? It's a difficult job for any manager. Pep's coming and he's asking for four brand new ones. And a couple
every season,
more,
fam.
And a
every
couple
season.
More so he doesn't have to see them man ever again.
Yeah.
That leads on to another question that we got, actually. Let me find it. Any chance you reckon we'll go for Tarik Lamptey from Brighton?
We should, but we won't.
I would love Lamptey. He's absolutely quality.
Attacking fullback, isn't
it? Man. He's tenacious defensively. He's tenacious defensively. He reads the game. He can get up the pitch. He engages physically for a guy. So
5'5", isn't he? Small guy, but he gets about, isn't it?
He's so good. We wouldn't go for him. It's too obvious.
We would need to load up on the egg, but I mean.
I don't even mind.
Apart from that, I mean, it's carved.
I don't even mind carrying and smelling of egg. If we...
Stevie's face was like, nah, bro.
Nah, he's like, rah.
He was like, egg, no, like, not get this egg shit. Last question. It's going to be another Brighton one. Thoughts on Bissouma at Brighton? Seems like the complete package in midfield could replace one of the many bums we have in that position.
Yeah, man. I think he looks a talent. He's probably attainable for a reasonable price. Let's just go in and strip Brighton of their black players. Take Lamptey, take Bissouma as well, and come and improve our squad. I think he seems like a proper Premier League defensive midfielder. So yeah,
he's really good. He's comfortable on the ball. He has great anticipation. He's good physically, so he gets around and he can engage in duels and he can win duels. That role in front of our back line, I'd like to see him. I posted it, one of his comps in the Mugger chat the other day, actually. So, yeah, he'd be a good signing. But they paid, like, what, 25, 30 million for him?
Did they?
Yeah, he wasn't cheap. They saw the talent and they put the piece down, I'm pretty sure. Because the first time I saw him, I went and Googled.
It was 15 mil.
Oh.
Yeah, 15.
I'm happy to be wrong, boy. I thought it was more than that. Okay, cool. Can he probably cost us, what, double that?
Yeah, 35 million
for a starting quality Premier League midfielder. That's not a bad bit of business, man.
Yeah, and then with that, you
Rashford,
can probably...
He's in here. He scores! Marcus Rashford! Takes yet another step
stop
up the ladder.
Fred. So, yeah, the options there. It's just bad for BYD. They made
That's another one. I hope you enjoy this.
It defies description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Welcome to Manchester United, Anthony Martial!
I'll be for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Use the hashtag when you're listening to this. Comment about, yeah, just comment. I'm the only one who comments when I listen back to the pod. It needs to be more people. We need to get our interactions up. So yeah, hope you enjoyed
it. Did Mariah put the gun to your head again there?
Of course. Of course.
I private messaged him.
Yeah. He just private messaged me the toy gun and...
You knew what time it was.
Pew, pew.
But yeah, see you next week.
Peace.
Easy.
Man, even thank us for coming on nothing.
Hey, man.